Isn't it amazing to sense the Lord's presence? It's just, I don't know if it's just me. I don't think it's just me. There's a love of the Lord, yeah, compassion. He cares. Phyllis, he just cares so much for you. He ate your leaf. He knows what you're going through. We don't, but he does. And he's the one who's right there with you. There's so many people. Andrew, the Lord's with you, my brother. He hasn't forgotten you either. There's many in this church. Pauline. We can just go through the congregation. Pastor and Yvonne, the Lord's with you. And he loves us. Isn't that awesome to know that this morning? Amen. This morning, I don't know if you can even see that. We had some challenges with a projector this morning. This morning I'm going to preach on bird faith. Thank you, my sweetie. If you want, you can go and sit down. Or you can stay there. It's okay. I need to check if she goes to sleep or not. This morning I want to speak on bird faith. Now, what a strange title to a message, bird faith. I even looked at the spelling of the word bird. What a funny word, bird. B-I-R-D. Weird. I mean, think about it. Bird. Don't you think swallow or sparrow or eagle sounds so much better than bird? Anyway, we are having a message on bird faith this morning. Late October last year, I went, not long after Peter passed away, I went to the coast with Karen and staying in her place there. She's got a lovely place on top of a hill. It looks out on the bay, or not really on the bay, on the sea. Beautiful, almost 180-degree view. And she's got a little awning, well, not an awning, but a balcony that you can sit under. And I love to go and have my quiet time there. And the one morning I was sitting there, and there were some swallows that had built a nest, just like the one there that you can see up there, up in the corner. And it was kind of above my head. And as I was having my quiet time, these birds got my attention. And I realized that the Lord was busy speaking to me and telling me something from these sparrows. And that's the message I want to share with you this morning. So I could have called it, not sparrow, swallow. I could have called it swallow faith. But I can imagine that. How do you swallow? Or sparrow faith. You know, so we called it bird faith. Well, I called it bird faith. And sometimes we need to look at the things that God shows us. Sometimes we just need to be sensitive. So what I did is I went and did a study in the Word. That morning I went and opened my Bible and I looked for references to swallows and sparrows and birds. And from it came this message this morning. So turn with me in your Bible to Psalm 84. And this morning as I was going through my message, I realized that I'd left the first two verses out, and I don't have them here, and I'm not going to look for them. So I'm going to ask if somebody can read me the first two verses of Psalm 84. How lovely is your tabernacle? Doesn't that just paint a picture of somebody who wants to be in the Lord's presence? Are you enjoying being in the Lord's presence this morning, church? Yeah. Amen. I'm enjoying being in the Lord's presence this morning. I'm going to carry on. I'm going to read through the whole psalm from verse 3 in the New Living Translation, if mine sounds a bit different to yours. Even the sparrow finds a home. See why I spoke about bird faith. And the swallow builds her nest and raises her young at a place near your altar, O Lord of heaven's armies. So the swallow has built her nest at a place near the altar. O Lord of heaven's armies, my God and my King and my God, what joy for those who can live in your house, always singing your praises. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, do you remember it from last week, the valley of Baca? It will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger. The other versions say they will grow from strength to strength. And each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. O God, look with favor upon the king, our shield. Show favor to the one you have anointed. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. This is a man that he's obviously gone into the temple, and he's been observing what's happening there. And what did he see? If you turned around, or if you noticed as you walked into the church, even in this house where we come to serve the Lord, at the back there where the old board used to be, if you look at those windows at the top, you'll see nests just like those. And what privilege those sparrows have. So this man had seen some sparrows that had built a nest in the temple somewhere near the altar. And they were singing and chirping, and he was envious of them. He said, oh, how blessed and how privileged is this swallow that it can spend its time in your presence. But he was envious because he wanted to spend time in God's presence. He wanted to be able to sing and worship in God's presence. He wanted to be there all the time, not just some of the time, not just when he comes on a Sunday morning to church. Amen. He wanted to be in the Lord's presence. And he said, oh, how blessed, how privileged is that person who wants to be in God's presence. So the first thing I want to point out is that the Lord has put in our hearts a desire to have a home in his presence. Now, who knows that we are the temple of the living God? We are his temple. He dwells within us. But we need to dwell in him. Him in us and us in him. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Amen. And we need to want to be in his presence more and more in our lives. Like this psalmist had been watching the swallow. And he was marveling at the freedom at which the swallow could come and go from the Lord's presence. He could just come and go as he pleased, and he was safe there. He had a place of safety. He had liberty in the Lord's presence. He felt that this was a place he could make his home. Who would like to make their home in the Lord's presence this morning, church? I'd like to make my home in the Lord's presence. And what the other thing you noticed is that they were singing. They were tweeting, tweet, 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 all the time. There was a happiness in the Lord's presence. I want to tell you this morning, church, there's joy in the presence of the Lord. In his presence is fullness of joy. That's what the psalmist said. He said this in Psalm 84, verse 4. What joy for those who can live in your house, always singing, not sometimes singing your praises, always singing your praises. You know, when we go to heaven, we're going to be praising God continually. We are here to practice. We have spent 50 minutes practicing this morning to be in the Lord's presence. And wasn't it awesome? The more we sang, the more we worshiped, the more we wanted to, the more we sensed the Lord's presence. And the Word of God says that, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. That's the right way to come in. So God encourages us to worship him and sing and praise his name. And this psalmist had a desire to live in the Lord's presence, where he would be full of God's joy and praise continually. Do you desire to praise God continually, church? Or are your eyes on your circumstances and your situations and the difficulties of life and your job and the pressures at work, and you find it hard to praise anything, let alone your heavenly Father? It should be all of our desire to be in the Lord's presence and praise him. But sometimes we battle to make it to church once a week. Sometimes we can't find time during the week to seek God's presence. You see, we don't only find God's presence here when we come to church. We find God's presence the moment we make ourselves aware of his presence and we call out his name. The moment we pick up his word and start reading it, he starts speaking to us. The moment we're aware of his presence, the moment I go to prayer meeting or I go to encounter group or to life group, I find the Lord's presence. But some of us battle. Some of us battle on a Sunday morning and it's cold. If you look around, I'm sure some people stayed home. Not because they didn't want to come to church, but because it's cold. Patrick, will you turn this down a little bit, please? It's starting to feed back here, and I want to move. I'm getting excited. Some of us battle. Do you battle? Come on, you should say yes. We're all human beings. We battle, but there's joy in the Lord's presence. Something to look forward to in the Lord's presence. Don't you want to be in the Lord's presence, church? And we should desire to be more and more and more and more. It should be a consuming hunger and thirst in our hearts to be in the Lord's presence. And all we have to do is say, Lord, I seek your presence. And we're right there. Because he loves us. And he wants to be with us. I want to be in the Lord's presence. So my first challenge, and I've 5 challenges for you this morning. My first challenge to you is, do you have a desire? desire to dwell in the Lord's presence. And it's a two-pronged challenge, because I don't want you just to desire to be in the Lord's presence, but do you desire to praise God while you are in His presence? Can I rephrase and say, do you desire to be praising God in His presence? That is my challenge to you this morning. And if you don't, then isn't it time to make a decision and say, Lord, I'm not having the fullness of Your presence in my life. Because we need the fullness of God's. If we want to live the victorious life, we need the fullness of His presence in our lives. This psalm has challenged me. Remember it, Psalm 84. Go home and read it. Think about it. There's so much more to them than what I'm sharing with you this morning. We need to develop a love and a desire to be in God's presence. It will give us a reason to sing. And as we develop that love for being in God's presence, we will find His joy rise. Are you short of joy this morning? We will find His joy bubbling up in our hearts, filling our mouths with praise. God's presence, we will, in His presence, we'll find a place of safety. That sparrow found a place of safety. It knew it would be safe from predators there. It knew it could build a nest there. It knew it could lay its eggs there and raise its young there. Wouldn't you like to raise your family in the house of God? Don't you think this is a place of safety? A place where they can grow and flourish. I can see it in my own children. Yes, I've paid the price. Yes, I have one child that's not yet. But I praise God that the majority is yet. And the seed has been sown in the other one's life. And it will come to fruition. And it will bear fruit. And it will bear a crop. So I am hoping, God, you can build your home in the Lord's presence. And then we can have wonderful liberty and relax in His presence. You know, when the cares of the world are overwhelming, we can go into the Lord's presence and find Him. We can go in the Lord's presence and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. My soul is heavy. My heart is heavy. I don't know what to do. And you can just load it all off on the Lord, because He said, cast all your cares on me. And we will sense His loving care. And we will have liberty and joy in His presence. Wouldn't you like that, church? Being in the Lord. I want to hear more amens. Amen. There we go. I did it for myself. Okay. The second thing I want to tell you is, in God's presence, there's great blessing. Now, last week, this is a little bit of what, and I promise you I didn't choose the scripture because Peter now preached it. I promise you I didn't. When I went and prepared the message, there was the scripture. In God's presence, there's blessing. But I'm not going to focus on the valley of Baca or the valley of weeping. There's more blessings than that. Psalm 84, verse 5, and 3 to 9, or to 8. What joy for those whose strength comes from the Lord, who have set their minds on a pilgrimage Jerusalem. When they walk through the valley of weeping, it will become a place of refreshing springs. The autumn rains will clothe it with blessings. They will continue to grow stronger. Each of them will appear before God in Jerusalem. O Lord God of heaven's armies, hear my prayer. Listen, O God of Jacob. Once again, the psalmist focused on this theme of joy. He finds joy again. What joy for those whose strength comes from you, Lord. What joy for the sparrow that, or the swallow that lives in your presence. I want to be a swallow in the Lord's presence. Coming and going and having the joy and cheeping cheerfully. Flying about with a joy. What joy are those who come into your presence? Do you know that Paul experienced this joy? You know, Paul went through so many hardships. As you go and read through the New Testament, you see he was beaten. He was persecuted. He was killed. And he was raised to life by the Lord. He was stoned. He was whipped. He was eventually martyred. But in Philippians 4 verse 4 he said, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say rejoice. The whole book of Philippians is a book of joy. The theme of the book of Philippians is joy. The joy of the Lord. Being in the Lord's presence is a place of joy. No matter what we face. And Peter now focused on last week when he said, when you go through the valley of mourning, when you go through the valley of weeping, when you go through that place of dryness, go and build a well there. I want to say to you, when you go through that valley, know that the Lord is going to bring springs and let them rise up, and you will, that dryness will pass. The difficulties will pass. Paul understood what it meant to face difficulties, but he understood what it was like to praise God, and he praised God, and it gave him a victorious life. One of the blessings of living in the Lord's presence is the joy of a victorious life. The second thing you get there is strength. God will give you strength. And it ties up so beautifully because what does it say in Nehemiah 8 verse 10? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because in the Lord's presence there is fullness of joy. And in His joy there is strength. So not only will I have joy, but I will have strength. I will be strong in God. I will be able to face whatever the enemy throws at me. And I will have the strength to endure and come through on the other side victorious. And then the third thing is, it spoke about a desire to have a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. What happens when we spend time with our Lord is He gives us a desire to live this life. Who knows that we are all pilgrims? Are you a pilgrim, church? Are you a pilgrim? Walking through this world is not my home. I'm passing through. There's glory at the end. I'm going to spend eternity in heaven. But as we spend time in the Lord's presence, it will give us a desire for pilgrimage. Now, pilgrimage, there's a journey. And in that journey, there are not always good times. Sometimes, you know, we cycle. Yesterday, I went through all sorts of pain and suffering. It was suffering. I was suffering. It was a problem. Okay? Sometimes we're going to face hills. Okay, we're going to have to go into the easy gear and it's still going to hurt. Sometimes it's downhill and it's great. Sometimes it's flat and cool. But in life, we're going to face mountains. We're going to have to climb them and we're going to suffer. But God will give us the strength to go through. Amen. The pilgrim's walk is not necessarily all downhill. There's lots of uphill. There's lots of rocky ground. There's difficult places. But the Lord said, I will make your feet firm like those of the deers, like those of the mountain goats. He will make your feet firm. So being in His presence will give us an ability and a desire to walk with Him and have a pilgrimage. Then the next blessing is an ability to deal with the difficult circumstances that life brings. That was the Valley of Baca. God will bring us through those times. No matter what we face, God will bring us through. And the fourth one is that God will bring us spiritual growth. As we desire to be in the Lord's presence, we will grow from strength to strength. I love to say, the Word teaches line upon line, precept by precept. It takes us from glory to glory, and we grow from strength to strength. Isn't that a wonderful saying to learn to help you to grow in the Bible? This is all scriptural. Amen? So maybe remember that. Bible teaches line upon line, precept upon precept. And we go from strength to strength in Him and from glory to glory. Wonderful. The Word is such an encouragement. Amen? So as we spend time in the Lord's presence, we will grow from strength to strength. Does your faith feel weak? Do you feel weak as a believer? Spend time in the Lord's presence. You will be strengthened. And then finally, what does it say? I will arrive in Jerusalem. I will arrive in Zion. What is Zion? What does it represent? Heaven. As we walk with the Lord, as we desire to be in His presence, the end goal is to spend eternity in heaven. That's another of the blessings of being in the Lord's presence. Can I see a show of hands? Who wants to be in the Lord's presence? Amen. So my second challenge to you this morning is this. Do you still have joy? That's number one. If the joy is not there, there's a real possibility that you haven't been spending enough time in the Lord. Do you not have joy, church? Or church member, or congregant, or brother, or sister? Where is your joy? Has the enemy robbed you of? You know, when he robs us of our joy, he takes our focus and puts it on something else. I want to ask you to take your joy and focus it back on your Lord this morning. That's my challenge. Take your eyes and put them on the Lord. Spend time in the Lord's presence. Don't say, I'm going through these difficult circumstances. God brought me through here. I don't feel like spending time with Him. And we've all felt that, church. Spend time in the Lord's presence. Tell Him, Lord, I don't care what. I'm not going to let the enemy rob me of my joy. And then come into His presence with thanksgiving in your hearts. Enter His gates with praise. Tell Him how much. Your eyes will immediately be on Him and not on the Father. Things are going to change. Things will start happening. Can I hear an amen? If you are not spending enough time in the Lord's presence, I want to tell you this morning, church, it's easy to change. This is not something that's difficult. It's easy to them. Let me give you some examples. Set aside some time every day. Maybe you need to get up a little bit early, 20 minutes or half an hour earlier. Maybe you need to watch a little bit less television. Maybe you need to dedicate some of your lunchtime at work. Don't sit in your car. Just worship them. Put on a CD in your car. Just worship. It's so easy to spend more time in the Lord's presence. I can spend more time in the Lord's presence. My family will come. So can you all. So can you all. And I say that. And I want to encourage you this morning. If you want to experience true joy, spend some time in the Lord's presence. Paul is our great example. The joy of the Lord. Attend as many church services as you can. As I said earlier, sometimes we battle to get up in the morning to come to our church service. And many times we just, let me tell you, you don't have the joy at home as what you have here. You don't even have it right now. Attend as many church services as you can. I know it's tough. Come to Bible college. The invite went out. How many of you are, let me see a show of hands. Who's not in Bible school? Who's never been to Bible school? Druk die hande hoog op. Yvonne, please look around and approach these people. It's time. It's time. I know my daughter says she wants to finish her study. That's fine, but it's time. Okay. Come to self. Spend time with your brothers and sisters. Small groups are great. Come to the evening service. Come to the prayer meetings on Friday night are amazing. The chapel is getting so full. It's beautiful. Amen. I want to encourage those that come to pray. Don't just let everybody else pray. Pray. It's fun, calling on the Lord's name. That's what he wants us to do. He said, make your requests known. So that was my challenge. Spend more time in the Lord's presence if you need joy. Then I want to tell you there's no place like the Lord's presence. Psalm 84 verse 10. A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the home of the wicked. There's no better place than God's presence. I often say it, when we worship the Lord and we enter that place where the Lord is here, where the word of the Lord comes through, where you sense his tangible presence, you can't pay money for that. There's no experience on this earth that can compare to that. There's nothing. There's nowhere you can go, nothing you can do that will compare to that. Nothing. Do you agree with me? I'm a worshiper, so I want to encourage you, there's nothing like the Lord's presence. You can experience that presence in your home, in your quiet time, in your cell group, in the prayer meeting, wherever you go, you can experience that even in your workplace. Spend time in the Lord's presence. Sometimes we need to choose to go lower, to get higher. He said, the psalmist said, I would rather be a gatekeeper in your house than live the good life. But the problem is, the society we live in is all about the good life. Everybody's working on a better house, better car, better education, better food, better clothing. That's a society we live in. And sometimes, church, and let me challenge you this morning, sometimes we say, no, I've got work commitments. I've done it. I've got work commitments. Or I've got a hobby commitment. Or whatever. I've got a family commitment. You make more important than God. The psalmist said, I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather come and clean the church, be in the Lord's presence, than go overseas on a skiing trip. Am I challenging you? Think about it, because this is our mindset. We've been programmed to the world's way of thinking. I'll come back to God later. Did you hear that, church? I'll come back to God later. There's somebody here right here this morning. And this is a word from the Lord. You've been saying that to the Lord for a while. I'll come to God later. God wants to tell you this morning, later will not happen. Later will not happen. You'll miss it. It's time to make a decision this morning. So the third challenge in this message is, it's time to make being in God's presence a priority. It's time to make being in God's presence a priority. Are we making being in God's presence a priority? I'm challenging myself as I say this. Too often we make excuses and we fill our lives with the business of this temporal life instead of choosing to be with the God who will spend eternity. We don't have time yet to miss around. We don't. And then the fourth point, and I'm going to take you away from that scripture in Psalms 84. As I sat on that same patio, I was really close to the swallow's nest. And one thing that I noticed is the swallows would dart in, they'd fly in, and they'd abort their approach. You know, they've got a tiny little hole. It's on the picture there. You can see how small it is. They'd abort their approach because they don't want to hit it wrong. Can you imagine the swallow hitting it wrong? Quah! There goes the nest and mud on my head. But they weren't aborting because of that. They were aborting because they saw me. When they saw me, they would abort. And I pictured that, and I thought of the picture that it made in my mind. And it reminded me of Proverbs 26, verse 2. It says this, like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse will not land on its intended victim. And I saw the swallow's nest as my life. And I saw the swallow itself as the curses of the enemy, the things that the enemy tries to throw at you. And I saw myself sitting there, causing them not to come to the nest, like God. Okay, I don't think I'm God, okay? But I saw myself as a picture of God. And when the enemy comes with his curses, but you dwelling in the Lord's presence, and those curses come and they want to alight on you, they come, and then they say, uh-oh, there's God. I can't do it. God protects us when we're in his presence from curses. From the things and the attacks of the enemy, God will protect us, but we need to dwell in his presence. Church, are you dwelling in the Lord's presence? Have you been facing too many challenges? Does it seem like your life is falling apart? Are things going wrong, left, right, and center? Are those curses finding their place in your home, in your life? Maybe it's because you're not spending time in the Lord's presence. And that is a challenge to you this morning. Spend time in the Lord's presence. He will sort it out. The enemy will turn away when he sees God there. But when I'm chasing the things of the world, I leave God there and I'm chasing the things of the world and the enemy comes straight in. And his fiery arrows, instead of hitting that shield of faith, won't fall at my feet harmless, but they'll pierce right through. And I will go through hardship I don't have to go through. Can I hear an amen? Spend time in the Lord's presence. Spend time in his presence like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse. When I'm in the Lord's presence, there's no curse that I deserve. An undeserved curse will not find its rest. Maybe we need to draw closer to the Lord's presence and make him our dwelling place. Put on the armor that he's given us and the enemy will not prevail. My final point is this. The birds teach us how valuable we are to God. Matthew 10, verse 29 to 31 says this. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, for you are of more value than many sparrows. We are valuable to God. Who's been feeling like they've got no worth? Who's been feeling not good enough? Who's been feeling like, you know, those are the super spirituals. I'm just a useless sinner. Let me tell you what, in God's sight, we're all people. In God's sight, we're all his people. We are all valuable. We are all like that sparrow that was sold for almost nothing. I mean, how much money, church, would you pay this morning if I had a sparrow or a swallow in a nest here? How much money would you pay me for it? Nobody wants them. They want a budgie or a lovebird or a parrot. How many people want a sparrow? Or a swallow. They don't belong here. They belong out there. There's no real value. In the time that Jesus walked on the earth, they had value because they were brought as offerings. The poor people brought them as offerings. What does God say? The sparrows do not hold much value for me. Can I see a show of hands? Who wants a sparrow? Nobody put up there. Yet God knows each one that dies. God knows every single sparrow that dies. He knows each one that falls to the ground. And this is the bit that blows my mind, particularly because I've got no head. Okay? We are so much more precious to the Heavenly Father that while he knows every sparrow that falls, he knows every hair on my head. He knows us intimately. Imagine comparing my head to a bird. I mean, this is just, I can sort of pull it out now. Okay, it's nothing.
I didn't. I was just joking.
Think about that. He cares for me so much. And every hair on my head, he knows. He knows about you. How many of you know that our hairs fall out every day? Okay, I don't have much left, but I've got hairs on my arms and everywhere else on my body. So I'm okay. I've still got hope. Amen? God knows every hair on this body. He loves us. We are valuable to Him. Our immediate response should be a response of love, of worship, of praise. Lord, you love me so much. How can I not love you? Amen. And this is my final challenge to you this morning. Stop seeing yourself through man's eyes. Stop seeing yourself even through your own eyes and with your own perception. See yourself through God's eyes. Precious. He sees my hands. It's awesome. Isn't it awesome? I wrote you, wow, wow, wow. I'm valuable in God's sight. But I bring myself into His, and He sees everything, but I bring myself into His special focus when I spend time in His presence. When I spend time in His presence, He looks upon me, His valuable possession. And let me tell you what, if I'm in His presence and somebody else is running around in the world and my hair falls, He catches mine. And that's my interpretation. Amen? So what is my conclusion this morning? Bird faith. Let it stir up a desire in us to dwell in the Lord's presence and bring praise to His name. Let us be reminded of these challenges. And I'll tell you these four challenges, as I always do. Challenge one, do we desire to dwell in God's presence and to be found always singing His praises? If not, we need to rekindle our relationship with God. It's a relationship problem. If I love somebody, I want to be with them. Amen? If I'm not so in love with them, you know when I need to know that I need to now be careful? It's when Cheryl and I stop spending enough time together. We love to be together. But sometimes I can be busy and on the iPad and watching TV and running around with this and that. Then we need to find time. Let's go and have breakfast together. Let's just do something. I want to be with you. Watch your life. If you're not desiring to be with the Lord, it's a relationship issue. Second challenge, do we still have joy? In His presence is fullness of joy. If we don't have the joy of the Lord, and possibly we haven't been in His presence, it's a signal to us. It shows us that we need to spend more time in His presence. When we are in His presence, we will receive His strength and many blessings. The third challenge is let us make being in God's presence a priority and stop making excuses. We make too many excuses about not attending church, about not coming to community. It's dark, it's cold, it's not safe. I'm not feeling safe. I've got to hang on. What counts more? Being in the Lord's presence or catering to our own personal desires? You make the choice. You know which one's right and which one's wrong. The fourth challenge is this. When things are going horribly wrong in our lives and it seems like the enemy's fiery darts are piercing us, is it possible that we've moved out from under God's protection? And we need to come back to His presence where you will be with us and be safe. Amen? And the fifth and the final challenge is this. Let us stop seeing ourselves through men's eyes and with man's perception. Let us see ourselves through God's eyes. We are valuable. We are precious to our King. He loves us so much. In God's presence, there is safety, there is joy, there are blessings in abundance. He keeps us safe from curses and attack. And we are incredibly valuable. Therefore, church, if you do anything this morning, when you go home, let this challenge stick with you. I need to spend more time in the Lord's presence. Let that, if you can remember that, you've got the message. Because if you remember that and you do it, everything I've said is going to fall into place. Amen. Go and read Psalm 84. Go and read it. Go and study it up. Let it be something. You know, I went to have my quiet time this morning and I've gone through my final, going through my notes. And I went back to that Psalm and I went to, in a different Bible and said, Lord, what else can you show me here? And He showed me something else. Go and study it. Study the Word of God. There's so many blessings. Amen. Stand with me. Let's close our eyes. And please don't leave because we're going to have a baptismal service. Only 10:30, I made sure I finished it. Can we get praise to the Lord for how much He loves us? Can we give Him praise? We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. With our eyes closed, let's see a show of hands. People who've been having a really rough time. People who've maybe been experiencing the fire of God today. People who've lost their joy. People who know they need to spend more time in the Lord's presence. Just raise your hands. I'm going to sing a song. In the presence of Jehovah, troubles vanish, hearts are new. I've sung it before. Troubles vanish, hearts are mended in the presence of the in the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, God Almighty, Prince of Peace, Prince of Peace, troubles vanish, hearts are mended, hearts are mended. Lifted your hands, just lift them again. Lord, I pray for each person that has raised their hand here this morning. I raise my hands too, Lord. I want to be in Your presence. We want to be in Your presence. We need to be in Your presence. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much, that Your blessings are being poured out upon us. And when we come into Your presence, all the more so, there is safety, there is deliverance, there is joy, there is strength. There is life, and Lord, there is eternal life as we come into Your presence. Forgive us, Lord, for not spending enough time in that wonderful place. And we receive and we acknowledge and we will take that invite that You've given us to be in Your presence. Lord, we thank You for it this morning. We pray that it will change our lives. For each person that raised their hand, whether they've got troubles that they're facing. Lord God, whether they need joy. Lord, whether they just need to draw near to You, I pray that You will minister into each and every life this morning in a wonderful way, and they will go on knowing that You brought about change. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now I'm going to ask, if you'll just have a seat again, we're going into baptismal service. If all those that are going to be baptized will come forward. Just remember for the ladies, the room on that side, for the men, it's the room on. Why did you swap it around? My clothes are in that room. We always go in there. Okay, then I need somebody to get my clothes out from me, please. Kirsten. They're in a black bag. Kirsten has a bag. Yeah, the ladies on the side. If the people come already, where are they? You need to move, please. They're calling the children's church. Josh, I know you're going to help me, but I'm going to ask you if you'll lead some praise and worship while we get. Okay, and then you're going to have to come and get changed very quickly. Now, please feel sorry for us. You can start praying for us now, but that water's nice and cold. And did you enjoy the message this morning? Did it speak to your heart? Is it a blessing? Amen. Without any further ado, we're going to go and get dressed. I want to encourage you just to sing and worship the Lord. We're going to have a wonderful time now.
Okay, it seems that it's gents this side, ladies that side.
So, isn't it exciting that we can do a baptismal service this morning? Amen. Amen. Church, if we can catch the vision that God has got people in the city, we will be doing plenty baptismal services. And I'm happy even midwinter to get in here. So why don't you get your revenge on me for making you sit through long services or sing too long and make me get in the water in the middle of winter. I will do it. Amen. Today we got Stephen and Desiree and... yes, I just went blank there. And the girls standing up here. And what a wonder it's seeing them join the church, get involved, and they desire to be baptized this morning. And it's lovely. I want to just pray for this family. Lord, we want to thank you this morning for a family who's chosen to put you first. A family who's chosen to make you their home. Lord, I pray that you will bless their home. As Stephen and Desiree and the girls get baptized this morning, I pray that they will notice that you are bringing about those changes, that they are growing from strength to strength in you. And Lord, that they will see your positive hand in every aspect and area of their lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so now I'm going to ask you to do, Stephen, if you'll just step back a little bit there. I'll ask Josh to come and stand with you. Will you turn around for us here, please, Ray?
Yep.
Would you like to say anything to the congregation this way? Right. Okay, because we need some space. Would you like to say anything?
Yes.
Okay, you can say. Just step a bit closer to the microphone.
Good morning, church. And this morning, I want to commit myself to God. I want to serve under God. I want to go through the way you want me, I must go. I surrender myself to God today. I put all my life to him. I thank you, Jesus, for this day for me. This is a big day for me. To get into this water, I wanted to be new Desiree as from today.
Amen.
I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have surrounded me with. I thank you for this family that I've got to my life and this church as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, is that you, like I said you just now? Right, hold me with both your hands, put the other hand out. I want to block your nose. Right. Israel Phillips, according to your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Excited we should be when we get baptized. Amen. Stephen, would you like to say anything?
Yeah, morning, church. The Lord sent me here to this church in it. I've been floating around for a while in it, from church to church in it. And we've met a friend of my wife and said we just came here in it. And the day when we walked in this church, I felt there's something that the Lord said I must stay here in it. He's busy working with me in it. I know I give myself up to the Lord in it and to the Holy Spirit in it. That's all I want to say. And I'm going to become a soul of the Lord and to float with him and to fly with him in the way he wants to do with me in it, he can do with me in it. Amen.
Amen. Stephen, did you see how that goes right now? Just hold one up, one down. Okay. All right, Stephen Phillips. In accordance with your confession of faith in Jesus Christ and your desire to live right before Him. We baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now for the young ladies. The whole family being baptized this morning. So this is nerves. I've never had somebody this nervous. Okay, please don't push your arms out. I'm gonna block your nose when I put your hand, okay? Then Tombeso, what's your surname? Clam? Dlamini. Ntombeso Dlamini. In accordance with your faith in Jesus Christ and your desire to be baptized, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Charlie, in accordance with your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your desire to go in obedience and be baptized, we baptize you now in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Desire to be baptized because she's given her heart to Jesus. And she's a bit nervous and she's a bit maybe shy as well. But Jessie, you know what? The Lord loves you. Hold my hand, yeah? Jessie, what's your surname? Just hold both, just one with each hand. Yeah, Jessie Herbst, in accordance to your confession of faith in Jesus Christ, you love Him, don't you?
Yes.
You just see it all over her face. We baptize you now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are two sisters that have decided to serve the Lord. Do you want to say anything? Audrey? She's nervous and cold. Audrey?
Please don't drop me.
No, no, you're fine. Just relax your arms. I'm going to block your nose when you put your hand, okay? Audrey Herbst, in accordance with your confession of faith, we baptize you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's it all, right? Okay. Well, that's it all. That was the toughest baptism I've ever done. But you know, people come with different fears. They don't know what to expect. But as I said this morning, when we come into the Lord's house, it's a place of safety, it's a place of joy, and it's a place of growing from strength to strength. And as they've made this choice, I want to encourage you, church, if there's anybody else who wants to be baptized, who've never been baptized, this is the way the Bible says you do it. And come and speak to me after the service. I'll be hopefully dressed and warm and having something to drink there. Let's close the service in prayer. Pastor Pat, can I ask if you'll do that for us? Thank you.
Let's stand together. Father, we want to say thank you for this time that we've had together in the house of God. We want to thank you for the word that we have heard. We want to thank you today for the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And we ask, Lord, that as we witness this family and these sisters being baptized, that you will bless them and bless them abundantly. Challenge our hearts to understand and to know that we can serve the living God with all of our hearts. And so, Lord, we say thank you. Will you be glorified in our lives and in this church and its ministry and its people? In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.